We have been focusing on prayer. We've been really looking at how to build a house of prayer to the Lord and to be the kind of praying people that God really wants us to be in our lives and as a church body. Week before last, we were talking about breaking down the unbelief stronghold. And the focus of our study right now is looking at various strongholds that we face in our lives, those things that Satan puts before us to distract us, to pull us away from God, to get us to be doing anything and everything except focusing on our relationship with God. And so this morning, what I want us to do is to focus on a stronghold that probably, okay, now just listen to what I'm saying here, okay, that probably most, if not all of us, from time to time, struggle with. Okay? If you don't struggle with this, or you don't think you struggle with this particular stronghold, then probably you're struggling with it. And it's the stronghold of pride. Okay? You know, the Bible in the Scriptures in Proverbs verse 11, or chapter 11, verse 2, the wise man there says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom." And in Proverbs 16 and verse 18, he says there, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." And Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12 said, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." And so what I want us to do this morning is look at this incredibly powerful weapon, this stronghold that Satan uses against us, see, to get us focusing more on ourselves than we are on our Lord. And when we're doing that, then we've got a problem. See, that's all about pride. And so I want to start this morning, and as we're looking at breaking down this pride stronghold, let me begin by asking this question. Point A on your outline, if you're looking at your notes: how did you get here? Okay? How did you get here? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, physically here in this place this morning. We're not talking about did you drive a Honda or a Lexus or, you know, a Cadillac or, you know, a Buick or whatever. I'm not talking about what kind of car did you drive to get here. I'm not talking about who picked you up to bring you here. I'm talking about at this point in your life, okay, how did you get to where you are? Turn over to the book of Daniel in the text that James read for us. And let's notice something about this text, about what is going on here with King Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? Now, excuse me. Nebuchadnezzar is the king of the Babylonian Empire, and they have taken the Israelites into captivity. And Nebuchadnezzar is, for the most part, history would tell us that Nebuchadnezzar was very favorable to the peoples that he conquered in building his great dynasty of power, okay, his empire. And he was thus so with the Israelite people for the most part. He allowed them to practice their religion and do the things that they wanted to do and so forth. But yet Nebuchadnezzar still had a lot of problems, and one of them appeared to be that he thought more highly of himself than he should have. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he calls upon Daniel to interpret the dream for him. Okay? And this is where we're picking up within this text. Nebuchadnezzar has interpreted the dream, and that dream telling him what's getting ready to happen to Nebuchadnezzar because of him not calling upon God and being faithful to God. And so Daniel tells him about this dream, and then it tells us in verse 28 that all of this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, all the stuff that Daniel had told him in interpreting the dream, all that had happened to him. It happened apparently about 12 months after that time that Nebuchadnezzar had this dream and Daniel interpreted it. Verse 29. And at that time, Nebuchadnezzar is out there walking on the roof there of the palace. And look at what he says in verse 30. This verse is significant to our understanding of this stronghold. He says, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my mighty, of my majesty?" See a problem with those kinds of statements? You say, who is Nebuchadnezzar giving all the credit for his, where he was at that point in his life? Giving it all to himself, isn't he? You say? And so then, when the words were still coming out of his mouth, those things happened to him. Exactly what had been decreed in his dream and what Daniel had interpreted, that's exactly what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. But then we go back to verse 34 and look at what he says here. "At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to Him, 'What have you done?' At the same time, my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before." Look at verse 37. "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven because everything He does is right and all His ways are just." Look at the very last statement there. "And those who walk in pride, He is able to humble." I built my kingdom by my mighty power, but God humbled him, didn't He? And we find him later on going, "It's all about God. He's the one who did this." And you see, this is the important lesson that I want you to focus on. Nebuchadnezzar needed to come to terms with how he got where he was. That was his big mistake. He was looking at where he was and looking at himself saying, "I'm the one who put me here. It's because I'm so great. It's because of my ability, my power, my talent." And God said, "You need to learn a lesson here." And Nebuchadnezzar learned that lesson, but he had to go through some stuff in order to learn that, where he came to the point where then he called upon God and honored God for where he was and who he was. Now, I want you to understand something about this text and why it's so important for us today to realize this, okay? In the other text that I read to you a moment ago, we need to understand the fact that the Scriptures tell us, first of all, that God is able to humble those who are proud. And notice that Nebuchadnezzar is the one who says, no one can hold back God's hand. Do you understand what's happening here? You say, if we refuse to humble ourselves, God will do it for us. Now, folks, that's an important point that we need to latch on to. Okay? An important one way or another, God will cause us to see how we got to where we are. Sometimes He may do it. We need a little lesson to get us back in shape, and sometimes we might need something very severe like Nebuchadnezzar went through. I have had to, and it's sometimes it's been a battle for me. This is a stronghold that I struggle with in my life. And I can remember back, you know, when I first became a state trooper, and you have to understand, ever since I was a junior in high school, that's all I wanted to do was be a Virginia State Trooper. That was it. That was my life. So everything I did from that point on was to allow me to become a Virginia State Trooper. I don't recall, however, in this point in my life, I don't recall a lot of praying on my behalf toward God asking Him to help me. What I do remember is the very first time that I ever went to Petersburg General District Court. Okay, I had done my trooperly duties, written a lot of tickets, maybe some of you folks. And I went into court that day, and you know, up there in the courtroom, it's kind of almost like this, except it's all on one level. You don't have a raised platform, except the judge's bench up there. But there's this railing up here, up in the front. And in the courtroom, there were a whole bunch of chairs all along this railing here. And then there was this area where all the guilty people sat. Well, you know, I'm coming in there, and I'm a brand new trooper. Proud as I can be. Because my dad said, "Trooper on." And I'd been in other courtrooms and everything, and, you know, troopers and police officers going to court, you know where they normally sit. They sit on this side of the rail in those chairs that are up here. And so I went into the Petersburg court, and I went in there, and I sat down in one of those chairs. The bailiff walked up to me and said, "Trooper, you need to sit back there. This is for the attorneys up here." Well, they're criminals. No, just kidding. Just a joke. Just a joke. Now I thought, you know, well wait a minute. I'm a trooper. You know, we're supposed to sit up here, right? No. Not there. Boy, I had to swallow a lot of pride. Pick up my hat and my tickets and all that stuff and moved back to where all the guilty people sat. And that's just a simple lesson to show us how easy it is for us to forget how we got where we are. You see? And to become so prideful that we begin to think we're better than other people. God has a way of humbling us. God has a way of humbling us. To bring us where He wants us to be. So let me ask you to think about, how did you get where you are? Think about your job. Where did it come from? Don't just say God, because that's the right answer. Okay? I want you to think about it from your heart. How did you get where you are? Do you acknowledge, do you recognize that the reason you have the job you have is because God gave it to you? So the next time you complain about your paycheck, are you with me? Okay, who are you going to complain to? I hope not, bro. I wouldn't complain to Him. He gave it to you to begin with. Amen. You know, think about it. What about your house, your home? How did you get it? Where did it come from? You say, from my hard work. I'm the one who applied for the loan. I'm the one who makes the payments on it. It's my house. How about that car you drive? You say, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, how did you get where you are is an important question that we've got to ask ourselves, and we have to remind ourselves constantly how we got there. And the fact that it came from God to begin with. See, because when we forget, we start putting the focus back on ourselves and we start looking at how much we've accomplished. and what we did for ourselves. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie with Jimmy Stewart called Shenandoah. It's a Civil War era movie. Jimmy Stewart has a farm out in the Shenandoah Valley, and he's raising his kids, and he's trying to stay out of the war. You know, the war doesn't concern us, kind of a thing. And one of the opening scenes of this movie is that Jimmy is there at his dinner table with all of his family. His name is Mr. Anderson, by the way, in the movie. And he's there around the dinner table with his family, and he's praying to God. And his prayer basically is, God, thank you for the food that we worked for, that we provided for ourselves, that we put on our table because we worked the fields. You see, and on and on and on he went about the reason that they had what they had was not because God really blessed them with it, was because of all of their own hard work. And that movie goes through, if you've never seen it, I'd encourage you to go and watch it. It really goes through and shows the humbling experience that he had to go through to really begin to understand where all those blessings came from. He had to lose a few of them in that process. That's a great movie. It's a great movie if you like Civil War stuff, but it's a great movie about humility. It really is. Because I think so many of us, oftentimes we lose track of how we got where we are to begin with. And we start thinking about that it's all about what we've done. On the front of your bulletin, if you have one, is a poem, if you will, that Beth Moore has in her book on prayer. And that it is called, I Feel, My Name is Cheater. Or My Name is Pride, rather, I Am a Cheater. I want you to listen to this. If you don't have a copy of the bulletin, if you have one, read along with me and look at what this is really saying here. My name is Pride, she says, I am a cheater. I cheat you of your God-given destiny because you demand your own way. I cheat you of contentment because you deserve better than this. I cheat you of knowledge because you already know it all. I cheat you of healing because you are too full of me to forgive. I cheat you of holiness because you refuse to admit when you're wrong. I cheat you of vision because you'd rather look in the mirror than out a window. I cheat you of genuine friendship because nobody's going to know the real you. I cheat you of love because real romance demands sacrifice. I cheat you of greatness in heaven because you refuse to wash another's feet on earth. I cheat you of God's glory because I convince you to seek your own. My name is Pride. I am a cheater. You like me because you think I'm always looking out for you. Untrue. I'm looking to make a fool of you. God has so much for you, I admit, but don't worry. If you stick with me, you'll never know. That's what pride does to us. It robs us. It cheats us of the wonderful blessings that God wants to give us. Because we refuse to acknowledge Him and who He really is. You see, one of the things that we have got to come to the point of realizing, if we're going to break down this stronghold of pride in our lives, in whatever aspect of our life it is, we've got to realize that it is not, life is not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. God did not put us on this earth just so we could go about doing whatever we want to do so we could make ourselves happy. Now, I'm sorry if that breaks your bubble, okay? But if that's your bubble, it needs to be broken and you need to get over it. Because if you don't, God has a way of humbling us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about how much stuff you gain in the world so you can sit back and take pride in what you have accomplished. It's not about how much you have done and accomplished to get away with stuff and to get over on people and all those other things. It's about serving our God the way He wants us to serve. Turn your Bible over to the book of James for just a moment. James chapter 4. You see, if life is all about what I want, then it is not about God's will. If life is all about what I have done, then it is not about God's power in my life. And we deny those two things for God to have access into our lives. And pride ultimately ends up getting us caught up in the world. Look at what James says beginning in verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or don't you think the Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? But He gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, you know, it's really important for us to understand something here. You know, as Nebuchadnezzar realized and acknowledged, no one can stand against God. And here James says God opposes the proud. So what's that tell us? If we're too proud, then we are standing in opposition to God, and no one can stand against Him. See? The world and our love of the world will get us into trouble because it wants us to focus on us and not on God. And that's why James tells us we can't be a friend of God and a friend of the world at the same time. You go down to verses 6 through 10 here. What is he telling us here? Verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. You see, it is God who does the humbling. It is also God who does the... what is it? Lifting, thank you. You see? He does both. He does both. We, in and of ourselves, can't do anything. And we would be blessed if we would remember that. Finally, look over in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Some of your translations say the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the things that get us in trouble. See? When we fail to realize it's not about me. It's about Him. Okay? Because when we're focusing on me, we get caught up in the world. We cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world at the same time. So we have some choices to make. I have choices that I have to make every day in my life. Because Satan knows that this is a stronghold that he can use against me. And I have to make choices to serve God rather than trying to have what I want. Okay? if this is a stronghold that you struggle with, then I hope these things that I've shared with you this morning will help you to realize, look, first thing you got to do is get you out of the way. Get you out of the way and let God be in charge of your life. See? Stop loving the world and everything in the world and focus on living your life for God. And allow Him to lift you up. Because I promise you, you would rather have God lift you up than humble you. Okay? Think about that. Okay? Think about that. We need to understand. Let me close with this thought. We need to understand. When we're talking about pride, we're not talking about the simple pride that we get in a job well done, in the sense of saying, yeah, I feel good about what I accomplished. But what we're talking about is that heaping pride upon ourselves, thinking that we are the ones who have accomplished everything. And when we're not for us, if we're not for my efforts, I wouldn't be where I am. That's the difference between us. Okay? We need to be able to keep those separate from one another. Perhaps this stronghold may be one that you struggle with. It may be one that Satan has you in a bind over, like he does with me. If it is, then I'd encourage you, if you need some prayer, some guidance, some help, whatever it is to help you to overcome this stronghold, let us help you with it. That's what we do as family here. Okay? There may be some other stronghold that you're recognizing in your life that's going on that you need some help with. Let us help you with that if that's what's going on. And for those of you who are here this morning who are not Christians, you're ready to give your life to Christ. You're ready to surrender your life and have Jesus be Lord of your life. You can do that right now this morning. Call upon Jesus as Lord. Confess Him as such. And have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism and become His child. You can do that right now. If that's what you're ready to do. We have a song that we're going to sing. What's the number, Ted? 552. We're going to stand and sing that together. We'll use that as an invitation. Is there anything that we can do to serve you? All you got to do is come up here and let me know. Let's stand together and sing.